from the international headquarters of the Christian Research Institute, welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast, hosted by Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because truth matters. Hank's special guest today is Dr. Vishal Mangalwadi, who is an international lecturer, social reformer, political columnist, and author of Truth and Transformation, a Manifesto for Ailing Nations. Born and raised in India, he studied philosophy at universities and in Hindu ashrams. In 1976, he turned down several job offers in the West to return to India, where he and his wife Ruth founded a community to serve the rural poor and continue his involvement in community development, where he worked for the empowerment and liberation of peasants and the lower caste throughout India's political system. And now, to talk more about this important resource for our nation, here is CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy, and let me underscore the words important resource. We're talking about Truth and Transformation, a Manifesto for Ailing Nations, and we certainly have one of them, Truth and Transformation, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. When you access it on the World Wide Web at equip.org, when you write me a post office box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, and when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. One of the things we like to do at the Christian Research Institute is shoot all sacred cows on sight. And one of the sacred cows, or perhaps mythologies, that is so prevalent in Western universities is that with the fall of Greco-Roman thought, in other words, when the Roman Empire fell, we had Dark Ages. And Dark Ages were a function of the shackled superstition of churchmen, of Christians. And it wasn't until the Italian Renaissance and the Enlightenment that we broke these shackled superstitions and again began to underscore the importance of rationality and reason. Vishal Mangalwadi makes clear that that is far from true. In his book, Truth and Transformation, he writes that tragically during the 18th and 19th centuries, an intellectual movement known as the Enlightenment separated the West's confidence in reason from its biblical foundations. The West no longer had any foundations for its earlier confidence in human reason. Secular rationalism collapsed into skepticism, cynicism, mysticism, and the occult. Rational cynicism has now become the hallmark of secular universities. The West has exchanged its worldview, shaped by the Bible, for a lie that the human mind is an accident of blind chance, no more valid than an animal brain. To talk about all this and more, I welcome back to the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Vishal Mangalwadi. Great to have you back with us again.
Thank you, Hank. It is a blessing and an honor to be on your show.
Vishal, let's talk about what I just introduced the broadcast by, this growing rational cynicism that has become the hallmark of secular universities, and the fact that in the West today, you have to, in lockstep fashion, adhere to the theory of evolution if you want to have prominence and tenure in universities. So we have come to this notion that nothing creates everything, and unless you believe it, you can't be an intellectual in good standing in our culture.
Well, that is indeed the irony of it, that if you believe that human mind is a product of blind chance and accident, that there is no reason to trust reason. There is no reason to trust logic, because logic then is a cultural construct. And there is no reason to assume that logic can know the truth. This is what happened to Greek rationalism. You know, 600 years before Christ, Greeks were the first to assume that logic had something to do with truth. Whatever is not logical cannot be truth. But what is logic? Where does it come from? if you don't have an idea that there is logos in God himself and that human mind is made in his image. So unless Adam and Eve, the human beings, are made in God's image, there is no reason to trust human reason. And Greek rationalism collapsed into first into skepticism, then total pessimism, and then into mysticism. So 300 years before Christ, soon after, by the time of Alexander the Great, Greeks had really become mystics, skeptics. And Europe would have really, for all practical purposes, become Buddhist, but it was, as I point out in one of the chapters on rationality, that it was St. Augustine, who was a teacher of Greek philosophy before his conversion, that he realized that, in fact, the human mind, human reason, is valid. It's not, we cannot know everything. We are not infinite. Human mind is finite, but it is valid because human mind is made in God's image. So the doctrine of creation is very important for our faith in reason. So it is funny that evolution, by saying that it is scientific fact that we have evolved, would in fact destroy science.
That is the ultimate irony. In Rationality, the Forgotten Force Behind Western Technology, one of the chapters in Truth and Transformation, you underscore the reality that the medieval West was the first civilization that did not rest on the backs of sweating slaves. What made the West do with their minds what other civilizations like Rome accomplished through the muscles of a multitude of slaves?
Yes, you know, it was Petrarch, during the Renaissance, the Italian poet and writer, who first used the phrase the Dark Ages. And what he meant was that once Rome collapsed, there was no patronage for Latin, and nobody was writing for several hundred years as good Latin as had been written in the first four centuries after Christ. So he was actually using the word the Dark Ages only for the quality of Latin that had gone down. But the fact was that by the sixth century or so, the Western technology had already begun to grow, certainly from the 8th century. In my new book, which is called The Soul of Western Civilization, I'm tracking the history of the development of technology in the West. And one of the questions that I'm raising is that technology grew in monasteries in Europe. Now, Buddhist monks or Hindu monks in India, China, they were no less brilliant. You know, their architecture, their philosophy, their caves that they sculpted, the temples that they built, shows that they were brilliant in their abilities, but they didn't develop technology. And the reason for that was that, several reasons. One of the reasons was that the Christian monks and the Buddhist monks shared in common the fact that they didn't have wives. So, you know, the wives would grind your grain, make your bread, clean your dishes. They didn't have their wives. The Buddha required his monks to go and beg. The New Testament said that whoever doesn't work shouldn't eat. So Christian monks couldn't beg. They had to work, particularly after St. Benedictine. So these monks had gone into the monasteries to pray, to learn, to get to know God, not to grind grain and make bread. So they began to dam rivers and use the force of the water to run water mills and then windmills, and other power machinery began to develop. Part of the reason was the biblical idea of the fall. Genesis 3 was very important, and in fact, Francis Bacon used the idea of fall in his rationale for science and technology, but he articulated it in the 16th century, 17th century, but it had been happening since the 6th and 7th century. The idea was that the God is a worker. God is not a meditator. He works for 6 days to create the universe. Therefore, to work is godliness, but toil is a curse. When Adam and Eve sin, then God puts a curse on him that now you will have to eat of the sweat of your brow. So mindless labor, which requires no choice, which requires no intelligence, that's toil, that's curse. And as God wants us to be freed from sin, he wants us to be freed from all the consequences of sin, including toil, of course, ultimately death. He wants to give us eternal life because death is a consequence of sin. So it was this spirituality developing in these monasteries where you wanted to be freed from sin and all the consequences of sin, including toil, which led to the development of technologies. Of course, I give some details in this book, Truth and Transformation, and I will be giving a lot more details in my new book. But my study is, why was it that the Christian monks developed technology, whereas the Chinese monks and the Hindu monks didn't develop technology? And the answer is, of course, that it was the biblical worldview and biblical spirituality that led to the development of Western technology.
And I think along those lines, Vishal, there's this prevailing myth that I alluded to, that when you had the fall of the Roman Empire, which was really forged on the anvil of classical Greek thinking, you had the Dark Ages that ensued. But what you're pointing out is the Dark Ages were not really very dark. This was a time of ingenuity. It was a time in which capitalism came out of the monasteries. It was the time in which chimneys and clocks were developed. It was a time in which the greatest innovation, perhaps, came out of Christian universities with science. And all of that, in some sense, is inextricably bound together with the fact that Christians called one another brothers and sisters and therefore didn't believe in slavery. And therefore, the mind produced a whole lot more than what sheer muscle of slaves could produce.
Oh, yes. That's absolutely true, that the gospel began to regenerate particularly Europe during those centuries that are called the Dark Ages, because the phrase Dark Ages is totally wrong. When Petrarch used it, he only meant that the standard of Latin had fallen. But in some ways, if the Roman authoritarian empire had not been removed, there wouldn't have been the development of liberty and freedom, not just science and technology, but the whole of the civilization as it has developed, because it's like that regime change was necessary for Europe to develop. Now, it would have been chaos if the gospel had not been renewing the soul of Western civilization during those Middle Ages. Of course, the Bible was not translated, it was not printed, printing didn't exist. So at some level, Christianity was superficial and pagan, a lot of paganism was mixed in. But in the monasteries where the scriptures were being studied, a lot of very interesting developments were happening. And some of these monasteries then grew into universities.
Dr. Vishal Mangalwadi, his book, Truth and Transformation, A Manifesto for Healing Nations, a must-read. It is available right now for your gift to the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can access the book on the World Wide Web at equip.org when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. I talked about this yesterday, but this is a must-read. It gives you a laser-sharp focus on what has happened to Western civilization. Why is the sun setting on the West? But it also gives us something more. It gives us a way to build a lighthouse in the midst of the gathering storm. And it underscores the incredible power of the cross that is so often trivialized in our churches. Truth and Transformation is a resource that will equip and educate you. It'll exhort you. It'll encourage you to make a difference. There's a sense of urgency about this book. Dallas Willard writes, there is urgency about Vishal's excellent argumentation. And indeed there is, because if we don't know that the battle is raging around us, if we can't discern wheat from chaff and heat from light, we're going to be casualties. We don't have to be. Let's make a difference. Order the book, Truth and Transformation, Make a Difference. Quickest way to order, World Wide Web at equip.org. We'll be right back with more of Vishal Mangalwadi.
Dr. Vishal Mangalwadi is a philosopher and activist who gives us a fresh new look at the moral and spiritual dynamics of Western civilization from a perceptive non-Western perspective. He affirms that the foundation of what set the West apart shaped our culture and morality, human dignity, rationality, technology, and character, but now is turning into the non-Western culture of corruption. Revolutionize your thinking when you order Truth and Transformation, a manifesto for ailing nations from CRI, when you call 888-7000-274 or online at www.equip.org. Bible Answer Man fans, there are now more ways than ever to interact with the radio program and Hank Hanegraaff. Besides listening online, podcasting, watching video clips, or reading Hank's blog, you can also access more of Hank through Facebook, Twitter, and our brand new website at www.equip.org, where you can access all of these new media. Don't go away. Hank returns with more of the program right after this. When Charles Darwin was writing his famed The Origin of Species, it was well known at the time that the first fossils of animals appeared suddenly and without predecessors. So there was a deep dilemma about what his theory told him to expect to find and the facts. Darwin's Dilemma on DVD explores the mystery of the Cambrian explosion and the scientific controversy that still surrounds it. Where are the missing transitional forms that Darwin's theory requires? Can any undirected evolutionary process explain the origin of animals? Filmed on four continents, this fascinating documentary examines some of the most important fossil discoveries ever made. The Cambrian explosion was actually an explosion of biological information, information that points unmistakably to foresight, purpose, and intelligent design. Order Darwin's Dilemma, The Mystery of the Cambrian Fossil Record from CRI by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org.
Don't all religions lead to God?
What is truth?
Aren't the Bible's views on homosexuality outdated?
What's wrong with Wicca?
Teens question everything. They need real answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has come out with the Bible Answer Book for students.
Hank took all the Q&As from Bible Answer Book 1 and 2 that are important to students and came up with real answers that make sense to us.
82 questions on topics that are on the minds of students today about God, the Bible, eternity, even social issues are covered, like stem cell research, capital punishment, homosexuality, and many others.
The Bible Answer Book for students is perfect to share with your non-believing friends, those looking for spiritual answers, with new Christians, or for you.
The Bible Answer Book for Students by Hank Hanegraaff. Order your copy. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. It's also available online at equip.org.
From Genesis to Revelation, every word of the New King James Bible is performed in dramatic audio theater by over 500 actors and narrated by Michael York, with sound design by one of the top studios in the industry, and scored with original music composed and conducted by Maestro Stefano Manetti. The Word of Promise Audio Bible puts the listener in the moment when Moses leads the children of Israel, Daniel walks into the lion's den, and when Jesus lives as man here on earth.
But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on, until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.
Order the Word of Promise Audio Bible on CD or MP3 from CRI by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org. Bible Answer Man broadcast, the Christian Research Institute, our website, www.equip.org, and the Christian Research Journal give you a front row seat to the intellectual confrontations and counterfeit philosophies that oppose the church and the truth of God's Word today, and equip you with well-reasoned, respectful answers that the Bible commands us to give. We are encouraged to know that by God's grace, your participation with our ministry has made a difference.
I had never run across anything that really had answered my question and really set me on fire. I've just been very excited to have found such an incredible, rich resource, so much available, not only on the radio, but as well on the internet. Lots of books and things that have really spoke to me over my life. And thank you, Hank, for your heart and dedication and for all the team that really makes it possible for folks like me to tap into such incredible resources and to be a blessing and to be blessed.
To be a co-laborer with us in the battle, please pray regularly for these ministries, and please consider giving a special gift to support these outreaches. To donate, call CRI today at 888-7000-274 or go online to www.equip.org. In Truth and Transformation, Dr. Vishal Mangalwadi unlocks the secret of the West's success, the force behind the development of Western technology, and shares the remedy for hopelessness. And this hope is sorely needed in today's uncertain times. And we quote, "The supernatural worldview that God cares for this world and is establishing his kingdom on behalf of the righteous poor made the United States the most optimistic nation on earth. But as we follow the footsteps of Europe into secular humanism, hope is becoming a part of America's past. Help others find hope when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to www.equip.org to order your copy of Truth and Transformation, a manifesto for ailing nations. Also check out Dr. Mangalwadi's audio CD series, Must the Sun Set on the West? Lectures delivered at the University of Minnesota are also available on MP3 CD. And now, once again, here's Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff.
And more importantly, I'm with Vishal Mangalwadi, and we're talking about his book, Truth and Transformation. And I love to talk to Vishal, and I think that everybody listening in is in for a great treat, not only in what he communicated yesterday, but what he's communicating today. He comes from a very unique perspective, born and educated in India. He's an Indian philosopher that looks at the West, maybe in the sense of deja vu. He sees what has already happened in the East and is warning us that we better not go down this path. And Vishal, one of the things that I was interested in your book was a statement that you make under Corruption and the Culture of the Cross, where you talk about socialism playing a big role in corrupting Indian government and the fact that the Indian government expanded far too fast and the part that socialism played in its corruption.
Yes. When the British left India in 1947, one of the things they gifted to us was a clean government. There was no bribery in day-to-day life. But once our first Prime Minister, Jawaharlal Nehru, decided to follow the Russian model of five-year plans, he didn't collectivize the farms because that had destroyed Russian economy. So he didn't go all the way into communism, but he tried to create a mixed economy where the federal government will have a dominant role in economy. That meant that there had to be, the bureaucracy had to increase suddenly. We had to have big government because the government was doing everything from running airplanes to hotels to healthcare to what have you. And then they had to recruit a lot of people who could not be trained in the values of the British civil service, which had really, the British Civil Service had been created by the second generation of Clapham sect. William Wilberforce and his group had created, during the Victorian England, a clean bureaucracy in England. And that had come to India, but that tradition got lost. We began to have Indian culture then throwing up totally corrupt people. So there was a combination of our inherent religious cultural weakness, which didn't believe in dualism of good and evil, that evil is really wrong, because Hinduism taught that reality is one. God has both good and evil in him. So there wasn't the concept of holy God. And then socialism created this additional problem. So the Indian corruption was a victim of these two deadly forces coming together, Hinduism and socialism.
Vishal, you really care about the poor and downtrodden. You've worked among the poor with your wife, Ruth. So you have a real compassionate heart for those who are in dire circumstances. And when we hear our government talk about healthcare reform, it's always couched under the rubric of caring for the people that have the least among us. Is there a fallacy there that we should be aware of?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you want the poor to have health care. There are three, four ways of going about it. One is, if the poor, if you attack the poverty directly, if they are able to find good jobs, they can then buy the insurance. They can buy health services. Now, if you, instead of attacking the problem, the poverty, you say that, no, we will take from the rich. The rich are spending too much on their health care. We will tax that and give it to the poor so that their health needs are met. When they remain poor, you are also making it hard for the businesses that are a businessman, an industrialist is trying to generate a business to create employment. You're making it hard for him that he not only has to care for his own family's health and his employees' health, now he has to pay for the health care of those whom he is not employing. So this idea of taking from the rich to giving to the poor, instead of enabling the poor themselves to have the money to buy their health care, this is socialism, and this creates the problem that you both hurt the economy, and in the end, then you don't help the poor.
There are so many Christian thinkers today that have huge platforms in churches and social movements and the like, and under the rubric of their platform, they're communicating this notion that capitalism is evil, that capitalism enslaves and ensnares, it's the rich preying on the poor and so forth. But I'd like to get your perspective, because it seems to me that the moment that you kill the secret of capitalism, the moment that you take away the security of property rights or contracts, you have those people who have money hoarding or consuming their wealth as opposed to investing their wealth for future gain and thus creating wealth that will help the poor, not only in America, but throughout the world.
Yes, certainly I would be very happy to give my perspective, because it is really very simple. You know, FBI is investigating 52,000 wealthy Americans who have hidden something like $15 billion in secret Swiss accounts. This is tax evasion. This is black money. Now, America, as a wealthy country, has $15 billion in secret Swiss accounts. How much money do you think Indians have in secret Swiss accounts? It's $1,500 billion, $1.5 trillion. We are number one in the world in cheating the government and stealing taxes. Now, what is happening in America is, as America rejects the gospel, that we are not a Christian nation, we are not going to live by the gospel of Christ, America then writes its own gospel. Let's call it the gospel according to America. You might want to call it the gospel according to Nancy Pelosi or some such thing. But what happens in this is you rewrite the parables which shaped America. So a king was going on a long journey. He called his servants. He gave 5 talents to one, let's say $500,000, 3 talents to another, and 1 talent, $100,000, to a third servant, and asked them to use this money to create wealth, and he went away. He came back and started taking account. The one who had turned 500,000 into another 500,000, or $1 million, so 5 talents into 10, he came and reported gladly that, look, Master, you gave me 5 talents, I've turned it into 10. The gospel according to America says that the king said to him that, you wicked servant, take 6 from him, give it to the one, or those who have only one or who have none. Now, if you do this, what will happen? The people who have only 1 talent, they're very happy because the king is very generous. He's taking from the rich, giving it to them. So Acorn will organize them and empower them to take from the wealthy. Then, next year, when the king, the IRS, takes accounts again, the one who has turned 5 talents into 10, he's not going to report that he has 10 talents. He will say that, I have only 4. I need state subsidy. Where will he hide his 6 talents? He will outsource financial management to Indians who have become experts in hiding money in Swiss banks. So American character was shaped by the gospel. Even secular Americans who reject the Bible, the fact is that they still pay their taxes. They might hire tax consultant who will use all the loopholes in tax law and save as much money as they can. But generally, even secular Americans don't do illegal things to save the tax money. They don't steal taxes. Now, this is American character shaped by the gospel, which, as America is destroying the gospel, that character on which the whole economy depends will be destroyed. So, as the president tries to cut the deficit into half, well, he's assuming that American characters will remain the same. But in fact, these new laws, cap and trade, healthcare reform, etc., could themselves end up destroying the character, that the people who are making money no longer report it to IRS.
And so much more could be said. We're just trying to whet your appetite to get Truth and Transformation, a manifesto for ailing nations. It is must reading. It's very accessible. It's wonderful to read, and it's available on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can talk to our resource consultants right now. Just dial 888-7000-CRI for your gift. We'll send you Truth and Transformation. We got some interesting comments coming up in just a moment.
To order Truth and Transformation, a manifesto for ailing nations by Dr. Vishal Mangalwadi, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. You can also order on our secure website at www.equip.org. Dr. Mangalwadi has also produced another popular resource recently featured on the Bible Answer Man entitled, Must the Sun Set on the West, in audio CD or MP3 CD. At the Christian Research Institute, our ministry is supported in so many different ways, and one of those ways involves non-cash assets. These assets include things like cars or real estate, and just as with cash donations, these gifts are tax deductible. To find out more about the types of non-cash gifts that you can donate to the work and ministry in the various outreaches of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, just visit our website at www.equip.org. And once there, click on the Donate button and then select the Give a Non-Cash Donation option. Again, that's on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Hank will be right back after these messages.
are engaged in a war. A war. Not a war with bombs and bullets, not even with power politics. This is a war with an invisible enemy, against the rulers, authorities, and powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And the only way to know victory over this enemy is to know the weaponry you have to fend him off. The Covering by Hank Hanegraaff is based upon Paul's words to the Ephesians commanding us to put on the armor of God. The Covering outlines this armor and its importance in our spiritual battles. He explains what it means to incorporate God's covering and the practical ways God delivers us from evil. Consider it your effective biblical battle plan to wage successful spiritual warfare. Call CRI and order Hank Hanegraaff's fascinating book, The Covering. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also order The Covering online by going to www.equip.org.
Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal.
Don't miss our cover story on famed capitalist and atheistic philosopher Ayn Rand. Our Practical Apologetics feature article, Equipping the Next Generation, highlights five key factors parents can teach children in counteracting worldly philosophy and overdependence on church programs. Our effective evangelism department equips you to respond to the difficult problem of evil objection. Hank answers an attack on the reliability of the Bible by distinguished University of North Carolina professor Dr. Bart Ehrman as he answers the question, Christ's cleansing of the temple, can Mark and John be reconciled? In his Ask Hank column.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.
We have assembled for the first time ever some of the great luminaries of the evidence for Christ in the world. These people have been assembled for one purpose, and that is to present the case for Christ to you. And in the end, it's your responsibility, your opportunity to come to your own conclusion in the case for Christ.
Based on Lee Strobel's best-selling book, The Case for Christ is now on DVD. One skeptical journalist.
I thought the idea of an all-powerful creator of the universe was just an absurd idea.
Investigates the most important story in history. Lee Strobel and biblical scholars explore the evidence for the life of Jesus.
Now, it would require more faith for me to maintain my atheism than to become a follower of Jesus Christ. Investigate the evidence for yourself.
The Case for Christ. Look for it on DVD.
Order this DVD and the entire Lee Strobel 3-disc film collection by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org. When you finally put down your copy of Truth and Transformation, you'll have a crystal clear perspective on the problems underscored by the current economic crisis and how you can make a difference. The cross of Christ is the only available force that can push back the storm of moral relativism. As Vishal Mangalwadi makes clear, without the cross, there is no foundation for moral absolutes, for calling corruption what it is, sin. The cross doesn't merely provide a framework for moral absolutes, it has the ultimate power to deliver us from sin. Call 888-7000-274 or go online to www.equip.org to get your copy of Truth and Transformation. Also check out Dr. Mangalwadi's audio CD series, Must the Sun Set on the West? And now, with his guest, Vishal Mangalwadi, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
And if you ever wanted to have a good lesson in economics, you need to go back and listen to what Vishal said in the last segment of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. It's archived on the World Wide Web at equip.org. If you ever wonder about cap and trade or healthcare reform, go back and listen to the difference between the gospel of Christ and the gospel according to Nancy Pelosi and the biblical illustration that underscores Vishal's point. Again, it's archived on the web at equip.org. Vishal, I want to turn a corner with you just a moment here and talk about what Francis Schaeffer called the watershed issue of our day. Of course, I'm speaking about abortion, but it seems to me, Vishal, that abortion is an effect. The cause of the effect is the sexual revolution. I want you to talk to our audience for a few moments about the economic toll that the sexual revolution is exacting on the West, not just abortion and all of its attendant costs, but economically, the healthcare system, etc.
Well, it is a huge factor. I think one of the most important forces that created the strength, the beauty, the prosperity of Western civilization was that the West, particularly America, was able to harness sexual energy for cultural mandate, for creating culture. So when God said to Adam and Eve, the two of them should be one, to be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, establish their dominion over the earth. Development is harnessing natural resources. It's a multi-generational task. Generations have to be nurtured by parents, grandparents, uncles, and aunts. And that happens when a husband and a wife who have children remain together and remain together with their grandparents, parents, uncles, aunts, the whole family structure. Now, this was what enabled America to surpass Europe, because while, as I said yesterday, that America has been unique, that if a candidate for presidency slept with a model, he's out of the race. Where a president can be impeached for lying about his private life, the First Lady of France right now released an album a little while ago celebrating her 30 loves. That was Europe. And when European magistrate Alexis de Tocqueville, when he came to America in 1831-32, he looked at American democracy, and towards the end of his two volumes, he says that if you ask me what explains the extraordinary power and growing prosperity of this nation, my answer is that it is due to the superiority of their women. America is greater than Europe because American women are greater. And what made American women greater was not the genes, because genetically, of course, he was talking about white women. Genetically, they were the same as European women. But what made the difference was the fact that American conscience demanded that marriage be one man, one woman, lifelong relationship, an exclusive relationship. So what is the purpose of sex is the question. If we derive our knowledge of ourselves by looking at monkeys and animals, as evolutionists would do, then sex is only for procreation, only for pleasure. And that's the mistake which the secular world has made. If you look at divine revelation, the Bible, which gives us blueprint for life, what is the purpose of sex? It is for pleasure, but it is for bonding. It is for making two people permanently one, which is what children need, grandchildren need. So right now, if the intelligentsia is concerned about the murders of teenagers in Chicago, what's happening in downtown Chicago or LA or here in Detroit, it's destruction of the family, which Hollywood has glamorized, which television is glamorizing now with David Letterman, which Hugh Hefner and pornography has been glamorizing. So West has forgotten the simple answer of what is marriage. The Supreme Court doesn't know what is marriage. Politicians don't know what is marriage. Common sense has collapsed because now biology has to tell us what sex is all about. Revelation, truth, isn't there in the equation. So love, again, is a very important issue. If love is chemistry, then today I am attracted to one woman, I marry her. Tomorrow I am attracted to another woman. And is love chemistry, or is love fruit of the spirit? I point out that Jonathan Edwards, the first American philosopher and the pioneer of the First Awakening, he brought the Augustinian view of man as Trinity into America. And Americans understood that love was not just an emotion. Love was a fruit of the spirit. So even when you hate your spouse, you want to separate, you want to divorce, you are commanded love. Now, God knows that you don't have the ability to love, but it is fruit of the spirit. You have to pray that I cannot love this person, I hate this person, I want to separate from this person, but I need grace. So love is the fruit of grace. That worldview is gone. So my book, that if a reformation has to happen, regeneration has to happen, truth has to be recovered, understanding has to be recovered, which was destroyed by Freud, Darwin, Freud, William James, etc. In that lecture series that you mentioned, Must the Sun Set on the West? The first lecture is called From Michelangelo to Freud, where I discuss this question at length. So, yes, you're absolutely right that the secular lies are what Satan is using to destroy America.
And you have a passion about this, Vishal, because you've seen the dark underbelly of sexual inequality, women being objectified, where you've seen firsthand the practice of widow burning, where a woman gets burned on the funeral pyre of a man because she no longer has worth. Her worth was associated with the life of a man, and if he's gone, her value ceases.
Absolutely. I was born just 20 kilometers from these most famous erotic temples in India. So what Da Vinci Code is recommending, Dan Brown is recommending in Da Vinci Code, sexual mysticism, that was part of the spirituality in the area where I was born and where my wife and I went back to serve. Now, when we went, we began serving the poor through community health project. A doctor and some nurses will come to our farm twice a week to train village people into community health. Women were not allowed to come because women have to stay indoors. So we had to get young men and train them into community health. 3-4 months after we began this, when these young men became real friendly with us, one day, they, out of the blue, they started criticizing us that you Christians are very corrupt. So I was taken aback. I said, what do you mean? They said, you know, you walk with your wives holding each other's hands in your field. Our wives have to walk 10 feet behind us. You take your sister-in-law on your scooter to the market. We cannot take our wives on our bicycles. Our wives cannot have their faces uncovered in front of our fathers, our brothers, our uncles. So I didn't know how to answer these young people. But my brother had lived there 1 or 2 years longer than I, and he wasn't particularly interested in evangelizing these people. So he was more brutal in his response to them. He said, but look, guys, you know that the truth is exactly the opposite. Your wives cannot show their faces to your fathers because you don't trust your wife, you don't trust your father. I let my wife go with my brother to the market on his motorcycle, a scooter, because I trust my brother, I trust my wife. It is that because we have higher moral standards that our wives have freedom. And I thought that I've lost these friends, but in fact, every one of them, without argument, accepted the fact that their wives had to be veiled and imprisoned in their own homes because they couldn't trust their wives, they couldn't trust their fathers and their brothers. But the culture of trust, which comes from inner moral restraint, is what gives freedom to our women. So if American women have had freedom, which Afghani women do not have, it's because America, sexual moral standards of America were built, shaped by the Bible. Afghanistan didn't have that. And if you want to emancipate Afghani women, it's not going to happen just by guns or by giving them votes. You have to give them the message of the cross, which transformed America and liberated American women.
And all of that and so much more in the book Truth and Transformation, A Manifesto for Ailing Nations. Vishal, I thank you from the bottom of my heart for your work. You're making a difference in the lives of people for time and for eternity, and I pray that God will continue to richly bless you for his glory and for the extension of his kingdom.
Thank you, and God bless you and your ministry.
The book again, Truth and Transformation, A Manifesto for Ailing Nation. It's a must for your gift to the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. I'll send you a copy. You can order on the World Wide Web at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. Remember, once again, I'm passionate about this book. This is a book that I don't want you to just get, but read, devour. It will make a difference. Vishal wants you to understand that you can be more than a microcosm of the culture. You can be a change agent. He's also underscoring the urgency of the moment. Again, the book, Truth and Transformation, order today on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
We live in times marked by much confusion and apprehension. In his landmark book, Truth and Transformation, international scholar and author Vishal Mangalwadi offers a radical vision for the gospel's power to heal Western society. With insights drawn from real-life struggles against corruption and from years of study, he delves into the ideological roots of social oppression. Reform, he argues, is never without controversy. Yet reforming a culture's value is a necessary precursor to lasting liberation and hope. To order Truth and Transformation, A Manifesto for Ailing Nations, call 888-7000-274. Or you can go online to our website, www.equip.org. That's equip.org. Another outstanding resource by Dr. Mangalwadi is Must the Sun Set on the West in audio CD or MP3 CD. Did you know that you can hear the Bible Answer Man daily or the best of the Bible Answer Man every weekend on XM Satellite Radio Channel 170 or take in the broadcast online through our website at www.equip.org 24 hours a day? Further, you can also listen to past shows which are archived for your easy access. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because truth matters.
From Genesis to Revelation, every word of the New King James Bible is performed in dramatic audio theater by over 500 actors and narrated by Michael York.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
With sound design by one of the top studios in the industry and scored with original music composed and conducted by Maestro Stefano Manetti. The Word of Promise Audio Bible puts the listener in the moment when Moses leads the children of Israel, Daniel walks into the lion's den, and when Jesus lives as man here on earth.
Order the Word of Promise Audio Bible on CD or MP3 from CRI by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org.